Welcome to Harmony and Improvisation with Dub Pierce, a podcast dedicated to helping musicians of all levels to play better music. Join us in these upcoming episodes as we explore the ins and outs of major diatonic harmony. Visit us at harmonyimprov.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. Partner with us at patreon.com/harmonyimprov. Welcome once again to Harmony and Improvisation. Thanks for joining us.
Back to another episode of Harmony and Improvisation. So far, we've gotten through a lot of basic material in terms of note sets and chord triads, arpeggios. Today, I just wanted to talk a little bit about, this will be a very short one, about why these triads sound the way they do, the functions. I've given just a few examples of why things tend to pull your ear, why triads pull one direction or the other, or sometimes don't pull. And what I mean by that is demand movement. So if we're going to be in the key of C major here, or the note set of C major, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, so this is going to be called the tonic chord, or the one chord of that key and or note set. That key and or note set contains seven different chords: C, D minor, E minor, F major, G major, A minor, B diminished, and back to C. And we learned this when we were looking at, did the episodes related to triads in a key. Now, we're going to look at the function of some of those triads. The strongest tension and release that exists in diatonic music, at least for sure, but in, you know, general Western music that you hear, is the sound of the five chord, which, again, let's look at key of C. D minor, E minor, F, G. That five chord is called dominant in terminology. It's called the dominant chord. And what dominant indicates is that it is, if we extended it to the seven, it would be a dominant seven chord and have even more tension that wants to pull back to the one chord. G to C. G to C, G to C, G, little out of tune, G to C, G to C, G to C, G to C, root position G to second inversion C, root position G to second inversion C. So there's a five, the C, E, G has the G on the bottom in that one. First inversion G, that's got a B on the bottom, to a root position C. See how that's such a nice movement? Got nice what's called voice leading. Second inversion G has a D on the bottom, G, B, D, and I will tune up at some point, G to a first inversion C. Second inversion G to a first inversion C. Just a nice sound, the voice leading's there. You don't have to, you know, do those inversions. You can just go G and still hear that resolution. So if you're playing virtually any type of music, That's the sound of the dominant five. The five chord dominant seven, I haven't thrown a seven in yet, but that's the sound of it going from five to one. Very strong pull. For you YouTubers who are watching the YouTube video, which again, if any of you podcasters want to go to YouTube, you can get do screenshots of the graphics that I put up and, you know, use them for your resources. You'll notice in the first example where it says Roman, this is also your first introduction to Roman numerals, Roman numeral five, which is a big V, and the large V denotes a major five chord, or a major triad in this case, GBD. And you notice the B I have in red to a one chord, capital Roman numeral one. And you'll notice that the B and the C are a half step, the B in the five chord and the C in the one chord are a half step away from each other. Well, that's where the majority of that pull comes from. The half step interval, the semitone that pulls from the G, there's your B, to the C. G, C. Okay? Now, let's look at if we make, the next major group of episodes is going to be on diatonic chords that are implied out to the seventh, meaning we're going to add another third on top of the triads that we've already learned. So just as an introduction to that, this is a good, it's a good example so that you can see what a 7-5-7 chord sounds like and what a major seven chord sounds like, if I play it correctly. Yeah. G7 or Roman numeral 5 with a 7 to the 1 major 7. And what we have there, if you'll notice, I've spelled it out for you in the 5 chord GBDF, that B and that F are what are called a tritone interval. We talked about that in our intervals episodes. And that tritone is even an even stronger voice leading to go to the one chord, because the B wants to pull to the C in the C chord. The B, which is the third of the G chord, wants to pull to the C, which is the one of the one chord. And the F, which is the 7 of the 5-7 chord, the dominant 7 chord, wants to pull to the E of the 1 chord. So you've got two notes that want to pull to there. So that is a very strong pull to resolve to the 1 chord. So that's the function of the dominant chord, the five chord pulling to the one. Now that's really, again, outside of, just staying within diatonic note sets, that's the strongest tension release that you will find. Let's look at some other chords within C major that have movement between them, but not quite as strong of a pull. Let's look at the four chord, next example down, FAC, to the five chord, GBD. Well, those two, I mean, you could hang on this all day long and it wouldn't really bother you, right? But if you hung on that, it would want to go, right? Okay. Four to the five chord, FAC to GBD. You could write a song just on those two chords. And we'll find in the next episode playing a C major note set over the top of those two chords all day long. All right. The next example is a 2-5. Now, 2-5 in jazz music is really, I mean, they call it the most important set of changes in jazz. And basically it is, because it determines so many things. It's just not a 2-5 set of chord changes. Although in jazz music, there are bazillions of 2-5s that happen. A bunch of different flavors of 2-5s, not just major ones. But 2-5 also is a set of chords that can determine melodies, even not over a 2-5 chord progression. That's probably confusing. As we move into more complex types of music, sometimes you're thinking one chord set of chord changes, but you're actually playing over a completely different set of chord changes. It's the ability to think kind of like pianists in particular, left-hand, right-hand thinking. Pianists are just great at dividing their minds and being able to think harmony in one hand and melody in another hand, but also a particular harmony, a jazz pianist in particular, a particular harmony in the left hand and a completely different harmony in the right hand. And that's oversimplifying it, but that's the way I think of it initially. 2-5. And you'll notice the Roman numeral 2, if you're looking at the graphic, is a little 2. That means minor. So a little 2 would be D minor. Better. Okay, so the little 2 is D minor to G. And you'll notice that the D minor, DFA, well, that F and A is the 1 and 3 of the 4 chord. Am I talking too fast? Okay. The D minor, DFA, the F and A are the same notes as the root and third of the 4 chord F. So the 2 chord and the 4 chord are very closely related, very closely related. They sound much the same in a lot of things. As a matter of fact, if you extend out the 4 chord and throw a D in, that's a D minor 7, or it could be thought of as an F 6. That's what that sounds like. So a D minor 7 and a F 6 have the same exact notes in them. See how it's important to be able to think of music in multiple ways. A D minor is not always just a D minor. But in this case, it is D minor to G. That D minor to G, that alone, that again could go on forever. And there are a lot of songs written with those two chords as, you know, mainstay part of the melody. And again, you will learn in the next episode that those two chords, you can play a C major note set over it all day long and make beautiful music. Okay, last but not least, G, or what am I doing? No, C, sorry, C, which is the major 1, or the large Roman numeral 1, to A minor, A-C-E, which is a little 6, you notice, because it's a minor triad. 1 to 6, 1 to 6. And again, those go on for, it can go on forever. Now, why is that? Well, once again, you'll notice that the C and the E that are the 1 and 3 of the 1 chord, the big Roman numeral major C major chord, are the same two notes that are in the, that are the 3rd and the 5th of the 6th chord minor. So the 3rd and the 5th of the A minor are the same notes as the root and the 3rd of the C major. So those two chords are also very closely related. They can go on forever. Now, that C major can also, if you extend, for instance, if you take the A minor and extend it another third up to the G, it's just like stacking that C E G on top of the A C E. So you get A C E G. Now that's an A minor 7 chord. A minor 7. Because the G is the 7, or the flatted 7, I should say, of the A minor chord. I am tangling my words. but if you throw that A up on top of the C major triad, again, it's a C6. Hear that sound? So those chords are, very closely related. So the bottom three examples in the graphic, if you're watching YouTube, are the 4-5 chord, the 2-5, the 4-5 chord changes, the 2-5 chord changes, and the 1-6 chord changes. Though all of those don't have a strong pull to resolution. I mean, a little bit, because you're moving notes, but the big one is the 5-7 to 1 major 7, or the 5 to 1 pull. The function of that is huge. The one thing that I'll add is that if the 4 to 5 transition, the 4 chord to the 5 chord, or the 2 chord to the 5 chord are in the context of a song that sounds like it's in C. In other words, if it's not just D minor, G, D minor to G, but you're actually hearing the C resolution, if it starts off like this. Well, that's definitely going to want to pull back to one. So again, in the context, the 2-5 in the context of a C tonal center, I guess you would call it. That's what I call it. A song that sounds like it's centered around a C major sound, that D minor to G is definitely going to want to pull. So that's the caveat. Same thing for the 4-5. If I've got a tonal center that's this, it's going to want to go back to the C. So the 4-5 and the 2-5 can be static and okay on their own, but in the context of a tonal center of C major, the 5 chord's always going to want to pull back to the 1. Okay, enough on chord functions. Next couple of episodes are going to be a little more fun. I hope that you're going to kind of chime in and learn to, improvise a little bit. Hopefully have fun with it too, because when I first learned that this initial intro to improvisation was possible, it just opened up a whole world for me. So I hope it does for you too. See you then.